and Marotta. Bickley and Marotta mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley Blast.
There was a time when I was terrified of Devin Booker asking out of Phoenix for the first half of his career. He was a life preserver in a sea of dysfunction. I knew how much he idolized Kobe Bryant, how much he loved the Hollywood celeb scene, and I always feared that privately he wanted to end his career in LA with the Lakers as the next Kobe. That fear subsided over the last few years, but after his chilling comment the other night when he used the word chillin' to describe how the locker room was dealing with the loss to the Clippers, you really have to wonder, because Book is very smart and very savvy. He's a 9-year veteran. He knows exactly how that term would be interpreted, and he knows better. Besides, there have been other signs this year and in other years. He didn't speak after last year's playoff exit, and on Fan Appreciation Night, you know who took the microphone, who spoke to the crowd? Ish Wainwright, a guy that was just signed to the team in March. So is there fire behind all this smoke? Is Book unhappy with the head coach? Is he unhappy with his teammates? Is he finally getting a taste of that wanderlust that is so prevalent in the NBA? Look, I also know this subject triggers the legion of Booker fans in the Valley, but I also know something feels very different about him and this team this particular season. And here's hoping when this show hits the air on Monday, we're going to all feel a lot better about this disconnected, broken basketball team we call our beloved Suns. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
When I think about the Knicks big picture, I think of Bridges and I think of Booker. And I know, oh yeah, Booker's never leaving Phoenix. I just don't believe people are in the same place ever in the NBA anymore. We've been burned so many different times. And if I'm the Knicks, who's going to be unhappy end of April?
And what he's getting at there is what basketball team is going to have a very abrupt end to their season, right, with a lot of aftermath and a lot of shrapnel flying around. Yep. And he believes the Suns are definitely a candidate, and they clearly are, because this is a very pricey team. This is a team that's leveraged up most of its future, and this is a team that came into the year with expectations of winning a championship. So this is where we're at. And look, Devin Booker has proven his loyalty to Phoenix, Arizona, so I do not say these words or what I said in the blast very lightly. And I know they also do trigger the legion of Devin Booker fans in the Valley, and there are many. But I do know that post-game comment was a jarring moment for sports fans in the Valley, not what they expected to hear.
No. And you call it the blast for a reason. You blasted me right to the back of my seat here. I wasn't ready for that that news about Booker wanting to go.
She told you to buckle up, man.
This doesn't need a seatbelt for sure. When Booker first got here, I thought he was a scrawny little kid. He's never going to make it in the NBA. It shows you what kind of general manager I would have been. But he has really shown me that the kid is moxie. He's a player. He's an All-NBA-er. I think eventually, in another 5 years, we'll be talking about him being a Hall of Famer. So to have him being even contemplating leaving is a real blow to me this Friday morning. It's a tough way to start my morning here.
And again, it's just a talking point. It's not reporting. It's not predicting. It's just speculative because we have nothing but questions and no answers.
Yeah, and it is sort of something that you would think the national media who follows the NBA would see, you know, every year they're like, okay, because we're in an age of NBA where superstars, if they're not winning, if they're not happy, regardless of what their contract is,
elsewhere.
They now control their own destinies in ways.
Yes.
So if you're a general NBA fan and you don't watch every single game of every single team, which Bill Simmons actually might do, but you say, like, okay, which teams are underachieving? Which teams might have superstars that are unhappy?
Unhappy.
And you look at the Suns, they're one of, if not the biggest underachievers of the entire NBA.
Yeah, and unhappiness seems to define them.
And you also look at, we talked about the different various factors going forward for the Suns, how they're really all in probably the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ever want to rebuild, ever, it's going to be hard to trade a rapidly aging Kevin Durant. It's going to be hard to trade a always injured and really expensive Bradley Beal. So you're one great, 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 great trade chip. If you ever wanted to rebuild and get back some draft picks, would be Devin Booker.
And again, I don't think it's something the Suns would ever do voluntarily. I mean, what you just laid out there is very, very plausible. But I don't think it's something the Suns would ever consider. This would have to be something that was driven by the player. And for Bill Simmons to bring up that New York example now, it's again, in a league in which unhappy players do exactly that. Pull the ripcord and go someplace else. Everything about the Suns team, if you didn't know any better, you would say, yeah, they might have candidates. This is not a happy place. And the performances are all there in front of you to see. Now, as we also said, Devin Booker was engaged in that second game against the Clippers. He was very good. He was the star of the team. So I'm going to hope that this is nothing more than an unfounded fear. But again, I'm not alone in believing that he's been a little bit different this year. He's been a little disconnected this whole year. People have told me it's because Kevin Young, his guy, was basically in line for that job until Frank Vogel was hired late. Okay, that's a long time ago.
And Kevin Young is still on the team.
And Kevin Young is still on the team and an assistant coach. And so, again, we don't have any concrete answers. We still don't have answers as to what happened definitively to this team in 2021. So, look, this is the NBA and everything is on the table.
But do you think, we talked about this yesterday, Scott, that this is probably the first year in his career that Devin Booker did not get better year to year. And he's definitely not having a better season than he's had last year or the year before.
Well, that generally happens around year nine. I mean, you've kind of reached your plateau at year nine. So I wouldn't expect him to see gains like he saw in years 3, 4, and 5, here years 9, 10, and 11. He's going to stay where he is. And he's still having some really good basketball games. Mm-hmm. Where he's scoring a ball at a high efficiency. He's getting assists.
Oh, yeah.
And he had to take out a little bit of a different role this year because he relied on to play a little bit more point guard. So I don't see his play has dropped off. Not I don't think anybody in the league thinks that.
He statistically, he's had a ton of 40-pointers. He's had a couple of 50s. He's had a 62-point game. Statistically, his season looks very much in line and even in places better than he's been. But in terms of just general impact, it's this super team hasn't done what we all thought they would. I think that's fair to say.
That's in wins, right? Because, right, and Bradley Beal being hurt obviously slowed their start. No one, I don't think we expected him to win 60 ball games after he missed so much time, but we didn't expect him to be in seventh spot right now.
We don't expect them in game number 78 of the regular season to need to burn 3 timeouts in the first quarter because the game is going downhill off the rails for me. You don't expect to call a 3rd timeout because there's nobody in the backcourt to receive an inbounds pass. These are little things that scream dysfunction.
Yeah, they don't look, in my opinion, they don't look any more connected and dangerous now than they did at any other point in the season. When you're hoping, especially in the second half when they have been pretty much healthy, that they were just getting better and better and better heading into the playoffs.
Well, you wanted them to have that run like the Rockets had where they won 10 straight. Like Golden State's currently doing where they've won 9 out of 10. And we just haven't seen that. We've seen some, 5-2 runs, mostly 6-4, 5-5s down the stretch here. Yep. To just have not given you that warm and fuzzy like they figured it out.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And I thought a couple weeks ago they were onto something. They thought they were onto something. And here we go now. So, again, the proof will be on the basketball court tonight and Sunday for everybody to see. All right, coming up on the other side, what are we doing next, Jarrett?
I don't know. What do you want to do? Coyotes, NFL, Shohei Ohtani?
Something like that. Stick around. You're going to find out.
Here we go.
It's going to be fire. I'll tell you that much. Scott Williams filling in for Fitty. I'm Dan Bickley. You're listening to Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, everybody. It's Bernsie. The Diamondbacks have had an up and down start to the season. What is it going to take for the team to return to form and get some consistency? We're going to ask the manager, Torrey Lovello, at 2:30 on today's Burns and Gambo show.
A lot of stuff going on in the Valley, as if all the angst over the Phoenix Suns weren't enough to kind of throw us off our mark. The idea of losing a sports franchise is at the fore here in the Valley. We've been talking about the Coyotes and what is going on with a potential slash probable relocation to Salt Lake City, what it might mean. Coyotes head coach Andre Tourigny visited with the Midday Show yesterday, kind of spoke about the impact this has had inside the walls with the Coyotes.
That has a lot of impact because our player loves to play in Phoenix. They love to play for each other. I think that is that has a huge impact. But I will tell you where it has the most impact is we have 31 staff members who don't have a contract for next year. Those guys have family. Some are divorced. Some their kids are in Phoenix and they're divorced. Some have a wife or a partner who has a job who... Now they will have to take a decision if the team is moving. Are they moving with the team and their wife has to leave their job behind, or do they decide to not follow and leave a job they love because their partner has a great job in Phoenix or something like that? They have, some guys have kids who are at university. They need to pay for the university. Those kind of things are real. That's real. That's emotion. That's real life. And that's where we're in. And
now we know that the heartless Scott Williams heard that quote and said,
I'm shaking my head over here like, dude, stop it.
Screw those families.
Absolutely stop
Take
it.
Take away Tiny Tim's Christmas goose.
Hey, listen, man, when you get involved in sports at any level, this is absolutely true. And I what's it, what do you call him, Bear?
Yeah.
Bear knows this. It is part of the gig. You will have to, at some point, relocate. There are very few people in any spot in that organization. When I was in Philadelphia, the 4.5 years that I was there, there were literally only three of us left. And I'm talking from ownership to the front office, the general managers, people in the ticket sales. It was me, Mo Cheeks, and a guy named Al Lumpkin. So that was it. That's the turnover in professional sports. That's part of the gig. It's a beautiful game, but it is a bad business. And you love the part of the game with the passion that you're willing to deal with all of the other negatives surrounding the business.
Yeah, it's listen, I totally agree, because when you went through your litany of rattle off the places
I'm getting so old, I got to write them down all to remember. We got Chicago, Philly, Milwaukee, Denver, Phoenix, Dallas, and Cleveland over 15 years period of span. That's 17.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
But it is different, though.
It ain't different.
Because
I don't care if it's a kid, you got to change high schools, you got to relocate. The military does it. People in corporate America do it. Everybody's got to do it. It just happens more in sports. You got to get rid of, I told you, the horses. You got to find them new stables. You got, you know, new vets, new dogs, new doctors, new dentists. All of it's part of the situation. We love the game. You have passion for the game. You want to play more than 3-4 years, you're going to have to relocate. You want to work in the front office or be a general manager, you're going to be switching teams.
But if you're just somebody who works in the arena, you're not expecting team to leave that arena.
Right. There are, I think both can be true. I think there are instances here where you do have a great deal of empathy, because, again, this isn't an athlete being told, hey, listen, man, we love you, but we got to trade you. We can't afford you. You need to go elsewhere. Right. This is a team where, what? We have to move? Why? The owner's saying we're staying. And so I think there is human collateral a little bit, especially I think when you talk about just the culture of living here versus living in Salt Lake City. I think people, this is a very unique place in the wintertime. We all know that. That's why we love it here.
You guys are soft.
Well, listen.
That's just part of the deal. Yes. No, whether we be here in the winter or in Salt Lake City in the winter? Yes. 100%. I'd rather be in the Valley of the Sun, but you don't get to pick that. Very few people get to pick that where they're going to be. You take the next opportunity, you get in where you fit in, and you make the most of the situation, because it's not going to be there for a long period of time.
Okay, so take any sympathy or empathy that a normal human might feel. Get rid of that. But Scott, let's The actual distress.
This sports kebab really better. You better bring it today.
Really be
the way you're jumping on me right now.
The actual.
I love this. This is great.
But the actual distractions that it might have with, the news cycle, and might that have a distraction to the actual team playing on the ice, on the field, on the court? Let me just play one more Bear quote, and then you could react, talking about managing the distractions over these last three games.
Distraction was there yesterday, will be there today. You know, those guys are human beings. Now, the wife is calling, is asking, hey, what? We just buy a house. What are we doing with that? Or so little Johnny was going, and that's cool. Now we need to find, you know, that will be real. But those distractions are part of being a professional and part of our life. So it's a test for us. And my intention is to address that with the group and say, hey, you know what? We need to be able to go through that, because next year, whatever is our team situation in Phoenix or elsewhere, we will have to go through other distractions. So we'll keep the same focus for the last three games and being able to deal with those distractions and keep pushing forward and keep playing game where we're focused and urgent. And we want to pass that test.
All right, so I want to jump in here. Here's what I want to say about it. So I think whatever issue this is that we are talking about, it has been compounded by the fact that when these rumors of Salt Lake City came up, it coincides with the team's nosedive. When they lost 13 straight games, it coincides directly with it. Ever since then, though, the company line from the Coyotes has been, no, 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 don't listen to the noise. We're committed to Arizona. We've always been, to the point where their social media team has gotten slammed in recent days for sort of continuing to present this alternative reality that what you're hearing out here, it's just noise. Don't worry. We're your hockey franchise. And it all seemed to come to a head last night with a post that was repurposed on X and on Instagram that said, quote, let the fans know we hear them and we are doing everything we can to keep the Coyotes in Arizona with a forever home. We feel their pain. It sucks. And we are sorry they have to go through this, end quote. That sounds a little more appropriate, but it also, the syntax of it is just odd to me. And then the Coyotes, as Sarah pointed out, wouldn't confirm or deny that was actually posted from the team itself.
Yes. So that quote was shared by an account called Coyotes Central, somebody who claims to have covered the team for 8 years, but there's no name attached, so I don't know who it is. That quote was posted on a graphic on the Coyotes Central Twitter/X account, retweeted by the official Coyotes account. So seemingly an official acknowledgement from mm-hmm. the team. But then when ownership was directly asked, is this an official statement from the team?
Yeah.
No comment.
Right.
So, like, one foot in, one foot out.
People are confused by this because I don't see, if you're the Coyotes, I don't see the shame in admitting what's true. I don't see what they're getting hung up on. If anyone should feel shame, as we've talked about, it's the people in Tempe who'd rather have a landfill than a hockey team.
I'm a little confused why little Johnny's in dance class in the first place. I don't know what that soundbite was all about there.
Well, you never know. They've got all kinds of things.
He's going to be a football player. They all do ballet first. What are you talking about?
Little Johnny?
Sure. Not ballet? Little John. Yeah. You know, football players do ballet to work on their footwork.
Their core? Their core strength? Yeah.
Right. I guess there's hip hop too, right?
Yeah.
Doing hip hop dancing now. This is what kids are doing. All right. So I imagine there's dance classes in Salt Lake City too. Right?
Yeah. No, listen. And your point is very well spoken. This is part of the deal.
Okay. Why are you letting that coach off the hook so much? Get his team focused, lock in these last three games, and try to salvage what's left of this season. I don't get it. I'm sorry. I bounced around. Everybody I've known, the 400 guys I played with, I think only Jordan. Hell, Jordan switched small clubs. So I don't know anybody that I played with that played with one team their entire career.
Do you acknowledge that there were challenges, though?
Yes.
Okay.
But you deal with the challenges. You deal with the distractions. That's what being a professional athlete is all
but
about.
But it's not just the
it's
athletes,
not about
though.
Just X's and O's. It's not about just fighting through energy injuries and rehab and everything else. It's having to deal with all the other distractions. I didn't go to prom. I didn't do some of these things. I missed out on weddings, bar mitzvahs, all kinds of things as a professional athlete I couldn't do because I was playing or training. We are locked in for a very short period of time. Everything else is a distraction that you learn to deal with.
Scott, I think I like this guy better as a broadcaster than I did as a player.
Scott, you know.
I liked you a lot as a player.
Nobody paid to see me play, that's for sure.
And Scott, to get back on the same page, Scott, I didn't go to prom either. Had nothing to do with me being an athlete.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to win.
You know what they say,
I
want
to win if I would go on with Gina Snella. That's the only
a
way
I
was
man is
going.
Only as good as his options, Jarrett.
Dorks.
Yeah. All right, coming up on the other side, a Tom Brady return to football. That and other NFL news coming up next. Scott Williams in for Vinny. I'm Dan Bickley. You're listening to Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
Welcome back. Happy Friday, everybody. Dan Bickley, Scott Williams in for Vinny. Sarah, were you just piling on him?
No. I'm taking shots all over this.
We got to clearify something.
I'm like 6'10", 300 pounds. I guess I'm a big, easy target this
big
morning.
Big punching bag over here. Look, that's kind of what I do. I throw punches all throughout the show.
Ruthless.
Indeed. Okay, but something that kind of got lost in this conversation, I know we're moving on to something else here, but he was talking specifically about people who are not under contract moving forward after this season. So there is a little bit more unease there.
The top three people now that we know that Scott has a problem with.
Yes.
Coyotes head coach.
No.
Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
And Gina Lola Brigido. What was her name?
Gina Snelling.
Gina Snelling. Yeah.
Gina with the booty. Yeah. With the
I do not have a problem with Gina, although she was a bit of a tease.
Sounds like you do.
I only, of those three, only have a problem still to this day with Allen Iverson.
So I missed that too. Can I get
that's
the
in the book? Did I get you a book?
I have not seen a copy of it.
I got to get you a book. I write in there about my experiences in Philadelphia with a very young, very immature Allen Iverson.
Oh,
and this is before the practice. Talking about practice sound bites. He was even worse before that.
Well, listen, I walked into a sports bar in Atlanta one time and AI was sitting by himself at the bar and I thought, oh man, how the mighty have fallen. So whatever. So on to what we were talking about, football. Tom Brady claiming yesterday on a podcast, quote, not opposed to returning to the NFL. Not opposed. If someone does him the...
Here's the quote.
All right.
This is from the Deep Cut podcast with his barber. What's his barber's name?
Vic Blends?
Harry Clippers.
Something Blends. Something Blends.
Harry Clippers.
Something like that. All right, here we go.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers. Maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots.
Somebody.
Raiders. Look, could be. You never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I always thought I was going to be in good shape, too. Now I'm 300 pounds. So don't know, Brady. You might have a couple years to say you're always going to be in good shape.
Okay, what strikes me about that sound clip? Because he does later kind of walk it back a little bit, and he harped on the idea he's rumored to be part of a bid looking to buy, I think, 10% of the Raiders from Mark Davis. So there's that.
That's a guy who needs a barber.
Well, there you go. Vic Blends.
They should have him on. Yeah, where's he going?
He definitely needs a new barber.
Vic Blends, got a bowl back there.
That bowl cut is horrible.
That is well done.
How do you be a billionaire with a haircut like that?
Tom,
how you're a billionaire, Scott.
Get your boy Vic haircuts. Blends hooked up with Mark Davis. Yeah, that's a good call. So the thing is, so when this podcast host brings up the 49ers, what I thought most telling was how quick he was at the ready with the Raiders and the Patriots. Both teams need starting quarterbacks. There's a rumbling that the Raiders are going to circle around Michael Penix Jr. in the draft, that they're going to kind of lean on him to be their future guy. And then we know New England is supposedly one of these teams that could be shopping for a quarterback. The fact that Tom Brady just dropped those two teams quick makes me think this might be more than just some stupid thing that he's saying to goose up ratings for a podcast. Well, what do you think about that?
Well, Raiders won, right? He's trying to stay on their radar, right? Like, hey, listen, maybe we don't get this thing done, but maybe if I play a couple games for you, then maybe you give me a better price on that 10% price tag that you want to cut me in for. And, of course, New England, right, where he won all those Super Bowl championships. And I'm sure he's probably got a car dealership or a restaurant or something up there that he wants the people to keep coming to.
Uh-huh.
Or, he, like I say, he's just doing the old Aaron Rodgers card.
Maybe.
No one's talked about me. It's been about all these quarterbacks in the NFL draft and all these players. No one's talked about me in the last 6 months. I need to get my name out there.
How much, again, I can't even imagine the psychological dynamics of a guy that retired, unretired, retired again, vowed it was going to be the last time, and now...
You mean Michael Jordan? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm just saying. Well, it is hard for these superstars, right? If you're gonna call, Brady to go to the game, wouldn't you call Michael Jordan to go to the game? So it's hard for these guys to give it up.
Number two, but yes. So Jordan, you are on the team, obviously.
Who's number two? Jordan?
He's out of his mind. Don't even.
This is even.
Are you kidding?
I'm not getting into
through this glass.
Thank you. Take it from somebody who played with both.
Don't make me throw this chair through this glass, but they're separating us right now.
Can we just take this moment for you to put that whack
opinion to bed? You already know I'm fiery on this Friday.
With both.
Have you not read my book?
No, he doesn't read. Unless it's
do you have an audio book version of it? But Scott, you were on the Bulls team when Jordan retired the first time.
I was, cried.
Did he feel like the type of guy at that moment that was done playing? Like, was that a shock?
No, I write about it in my book. I think it was the loss of his father and having to try to process those emotions as you're the world's most popular player. Yeah. That was just too much for him to handle.
Because the thing with Tom Brady is it never felt like the last few years of his career, it never felt like he was at peace stopping playing.
No, that's a good point.
And eventually it felt like when he did retire, it was sort of just like, well, my opportunities are kind of running out rather than like I'm really truly done with the game.
He got embarrassed that final game against by Dak Prescott. I think he knew his time, his skills are starting to diminish. It's hard for those guys to let it go.
Yeah.
But when he can't beat Dak Prescott, and then that's in the, he got embarrassed the way that he did in that football game. I think he needs to stay retired.
Listen, I say this all the time about rock stars. There's a reason why the Rolling Stones are still touring at age 80. Yeah. You can't give it up. When you live life at that level of fame and celebrity, it's really, really hard to put that down. Tom Brady is obviously proof.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the Patriots thing, it's interesting, too, because, you know, that whole Bill Belichick versus Tom Brady debate, that's kind of been settled. I think Tom Brady won that debate.
Yeah, pretty 100%. Clearly.
100% he won that debate. And so now Bill Belichick is not in New England. He didn't get a job elsewhere.
Shocker.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so it maybe Tom's looking at that like, I can go be their savior. I don't know. Look, you would think that with everything that's in front of him, you would think he would find peace, but he can't.
Well, yeah, with his accomplishment and the fact that he's walked away pretty much injury free.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't look like these guys that have been beat up that have been in the trenches and they need hip replacements or knee replacements or maybe have the marbles rolling around from having so many concussions. He's gotten away good. Why risk that type of lifelong injury to go back for one more mediocre football school?
Maybe he just really, really doesn't want to fulfill his broadcasting contract that he signs.
It's very possible,
right? I
haven't
even seen him broadcast anywhere. Did he do
it? No, he didn't do it.
He hasn't done a thing yet. It's supposed to kick in this year.
Yeah, he was supposed to do it after he retired, and he delayed it a full year. It was like some crazy, I forget what the number was, but it was like $100 million.
$100 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so he delayed it a year, and he's supposed to start it this year, but everyone's still skeptical that he will.
All right, the Phoenix Suns have a huge game tonight. We'll talk about it with a man who covers the Sacramento Kings, Jason Hamm from ESPN Radio. Will join us next. Scott Williams in for Vinny. I'm Dan Bickley. You're listening to Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke, and then there were two. So what are the Phoenix Suns going to show us in their final two games of the regular season? We're getting you ready for Suns-Kings at 10 a.m. Well, Wolf will, because I'll be in Coachella. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Welcome back. Happy Friday, everybody. Another night on the edge for our basketball team tonight in Sacktown. Our great pleasure to welcome in Kings Insider, host on ESPN 1320. He's James Hamm. Hello, James. How are you?
Hey, James.
Good. Scott, how Williams are you guys?
Thank you for joining us.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, no, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Set the scene for us. I know the Kings are coming off a rough loss to the Pelicans last night. They're probably going to be as desperate as the Phoenix Suns are going to be. What does this game feel like in Sacramento?
Yeah, I think this is a big one. Last night's game was very deflating for the Sacramento Kings, very deflating for a fan base that, you know, waited 16 years to finally make the playoffs last year and then seen their team falter down the stretch. I think this is going to be one of those games where it's all hands on deck, where the crowd is going to be ruckus and crazy, and you're going to have two teams that just really haven't played all that well in the last month that are going to sort of the war of attrition here we're seeing at the end of this NBA season.
Yeah, I'm looking at the last game that the Suns and the Kings matched up, and I'm not talking about the one where the Kings blew the big 20-plus lead, but the last one was on February 13th, a 130-125 victory for the Phoenix Suns. But we saw Sabonis, who had a monster triple-double, 35, 18, and 12. And De'Aaron Fox also went for 40 and 9. What is it about those two guys that are so special and why they like to see the Phoenix Suns in front of them?
I missed part of that question, but as far as these two matching up, and I think the biggest thing that I would point to is that they each have players that the other one cannot stop. You know, that's something that I think we've seen throughout this entire season. The Kings don't have anyone that can match up with Kevin Durant. They really don't have anyone that can slow Devin Booker. But I think you can say the same exact thing for Sabonis and Fox. And so it really does come down to the star power in these matchups. And then, in all honesty, your non-star power guys for Phoenix are the ones that sort of busted up the Kings, especially in that 20-point comeback win. This is, again, two teams that are around the same, not really, I don't know if you'd say high-end talent-wise, but as far as their build, they're around the same quality of team. And I think this year in the Western Conference specifically, there's a lot of teams right around the same exact quality. And it's just who matches up better with who. And for whatever reason, the Kings don't match up well with the Pelicans, but they do match up well against, say, Minnesota, Denver, OKC. And you have a team like the Suns that might not match up against one team, but, you know, they have no problems busting up a bunch of other teams. And it's just sort of, to me, it's matchups. Yeah. It's the weirdness of this Western Conference this year that really prevails.
Yeah, no doubt about that. When you take a look at the Kings and losing four times in their last five games, what have been the issues with your basketball team?
Well, in all honesty, the issue is they're playing really good basketball teams. That's for starters. I mean, we're talking about a loss against the Knicks and then the Celtics on the second night of a back-to-back. You know, you're talking about OKC on the fourth game of a road trip. You're talking about a Pelicans team that has played them very well all season long. And, you know, when you blow games early in the season like the Kings did with losses against Detroit and Charlotte at home, games against the Washington Wizards, the Blazers, you look at the bottom five teams in the NBA, the Kings have lost to all of them except for maybe one. And that's a problem because when you get down to the nitty-gritty of the season and we're looking at this, you know, five-game stretch here to try to make your whole entire season, try to avoid the play-in tournament and all that stuff, it's those little losses that you really shouldn't have had early in the season that come back to haunt you. As far as the last, like, five games, you're really missing Malik Monk. And you guys will see it tonight. The Kings are so dynamic in the pick and roll with Monk and Sabonis. Even Alex Len and Sabonis and Monk. And without Monk, that secondary playmaker, the Kings have just really struggled. There isn't another player in the league like Monk. He is the best pick and roll scoring guard in the NBA, like as far as metrics. And without him, you lose this other element that this team has relied on. And it's why you've seen the Kings shoot, you know, that incredible 58 three-point attempts against OKC the other night. It's because they really don't have the ability to get to the basket and to get Sabonis those three or four easy buckets every single game that he relies on, where he's on the roll. And you can't just man up against him. He's already moving, and he's just too strong for people.
Yeah, Malik Monk gave the Suns 22 last game.
Yeah,
and I think the Suns know all about blowing games earlier. They've lost three times this year to the San Antonio Spurs. and we have Frank Vogel on record saying he's not concerned whether they get the sixth seed or they're in the play-in going into the final postseason here. But what is the mindset of the Sacramento Kings? What are they thinking about? Because obviously they are in the play-in situation now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're different, right? Because the Kings haven't been in this situation before. They haven't been, you know, last season they jumped all the way up to the third seed in the Western Conference. And, you know, I don't want to say everything was easy, but they sort of had this clean path to the playoffs. And then if you go beyond that, we're talking about a 16-year playoff drought. So a lot of the players on this team haven't been in this situation before, where they're fighting and they're clawing. Where you look at the Suns and, you know, you got Booker, you've got, maybe not Bradley Beal, who didn't win a lot of playoff games, but you've got Kevin Durant. And then even your secondary players, you have a lot of guys there that have played a ton of playoff basketball. So that's different for the Kings. This is a learning experience for them. They didn't deal with injuries last year. They didn't have a ton of adversity. It was kind of just this clear path where they were just excellent all season long. And now we get to this situation where you're fighting tooth and nail just to find a kind of carve your niche out in the league. And, you know, the injuries hit at the wrong time. And so that's kind of put them in a tailspin. And, you know, it's how do you deal with the adversity here? How do you avoid going from a team that maybe was a 6 seed all the way down to a potential 10 seed? If they lose out, they're going to have a tough time avoiding the 10 seed. They're tied for the 8, 9, 10 at this point. They do have tiebreakers over both the Warriors and the Lakers, but this is a sketchy situation for the Kings all of a sudden.
Now, the NBA has got to be tickled with the play-in and the implications and how it's kept all these teams alive, certainly kept those last couple of weeks really, really compelling. Yet, a couple teams at laying back-to-backs on teams at this time of year seems to be really, really crazy. It's happening to the Pelicans. It's obviously happening to the Kings. How are the Kings suited in this kind of situation to have to play a second game back-to-back?
Well, they were really bad in the back-to-back early on in the season. They started 0-4 in the second night of a back-to-back. Since that time, I think they're 6-2, and they're 6-6 on the season. It's not been easy, though. You know, this is it's not typically even just a back-to-back. There's been a lot of 3 games and 4 nights and 5 games and 7 nights this season that's wiped out teams. And, you know, I don't want to, like, point to scheduling losses as a reason why the Kings are where they are. But, you know, playing the further you get east from the West Coast, the easy road trips get. And the fact that the NBA thought it was a smart idea to send the Kings all the way to New York, not only they had a game in New York, a back-to-back in Boston, and then had to come back to New York 2 days later, and then stop in OKC on their way home. It's just wild that the NBA thought that that was appropriate in the final 2 or 3 weeks of the season.
That's nuts.
You're just wiping these teams out. And, you know, I'm intrigued to see, like, you've watched Kevin Durant pull off this masterful season where he's averaging 37 minutes a game at whatever he is, 36 years old, 35 years old. I want to see what the the league looks like in the playoffs this year when Kawhi Leonard has had to play all these games and Paul George has had to play all these games and Kevin has had to play all those minutes. Like, what is this thing going to look like? Just to get into the play-in, to get into the playoffs, this is a huge dogfight. And a lot of these teams are going to walk into the playoffs beat up, bruised, and flat out old. Old and guys that typically don't play 70-plus games in a season. They usually wait until the postseason to play primetime minutes like this. So I think it's going to be a really interesting playoff.
Great stuff, James. Really appreciate your time and your insight this morning.
Thanks, Jason. Tell Coach Brown, Scott Williams, said hello.
All right, I will. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
Sorry about that. James Hamm from ESPN Radio in Sacramento joining us. The 9 o'clock hour is upon us. It is the Jarrett Carlin Power Hour on Fridays. Buckle up, folks. It's always so it's always exactly that. Coming up next, it is Social Studies with Sarah Cazell. You're listening to Scott Williams.
Wait a minute.
What'd I do?
This is my fault. This is my fault because it's something we have to do.
All right.
For our listeners, because we promised them once an hour.
Oh, some tickets.
That we will be giving away.
Arizona Sports, D-backs, Cubs, ticket giveaway.
So we need a number now. Getting in just in the 8 o'clock hour here.
Caller number three. I'll make it easy on you, Ferret.
You will win tickets to Diamondbacks Cubs next week. Caller number three. Stay tuned for the next hour where we'll be giving away tickets. You won't have to wait till the last minute and 45 seconds, I promise.
Way to stay on top of stuff, Jarrett.
Thank you.
There you go. Must be reading something on the WWE.
Anyway?
Yeah.
Ooh.
What's that, Scott?
Hey, give me some break. I'm
all
writing
right,
the sports
I'm giving you a break.
I want to know who's pitching for the D-backs tonight.
Brandon Fott's pitching for the Diamondbacks.
That's right. Fott?
Like get back to writing your sports kebab, clown. Social Studies with Sarah Cazell next. We're back right after this.